O magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Tuesday, February 13th, 2018. And Lord willing, Marianne, we're going to maybe read two stories, you think, on today's edition of Mark and Friends?
I think we're going to try.
We're going to try to do two. We have our papers open. The paper we're referring to is the Prime Life Times. It's informative, engaging, and positive. And this is the February edition, even though we're in the midst of getting the March edition proofed. Wow.
I love it how you said those informative, engaging, positive. You got that memorized now, don't you?
I'm trying. And this is an appropriate story to begin or launch into this program because last night we had our Singing Man rehearsal and we were reveling in singing the national anthem the prior Penn State game that was Sunday night.
Yeah.
Though we lost,
I know.
We had a good time. And I think actually on a couple of different people's Facebook page, they posted the Singing Men singing the national anthem.
Something that went right. Oh, that's terrible.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
That's what. So yeah, you read that? Somebody said at least.
Oh, did
no,
they?
Somebody posted at least one thing went right that
I'm
night.
I'm sorry. That's where my mind went to, and that's so sad.
Yeah. So Singing Men continue to gather here on Monday nights at 7 p.m. And I'm hoping this article might foster some more interest, or one of the Singing Men will pass it on to a friend, and they'll say, "Oh, I'm interested in learning more."
Right.
But you asked me, I guess, about a month and a half ago, 2 months back, Mark, why don't you write a story or
tell us
some more about the Singing Men of GNN?
And you did a great job, and you are going to read it.
Yes, I guess I'm going to read it. And I will point out on the front end, in case I forget afterwards, but in March, so next month on the 17th, the Singing Men of GNN will be singing and presenting here at Lincoln Square for the Home and Garden Show.
Oh.
So WCIA Channel 3 asked us, would we sing again? So
they
asked
you.
Yes, they came in and initiated and said the Home and Garden Show is coming. Do you want to sing again? So I think it's going to be at 4 p.m. on that Saturday, March 17th.
Yeah.
So
good.
I'm pretty certain on that time.
That's a big event, too.
Yes.
I know we can't talk a lot. We're going to read these
4,000 or 5,000.
That Home and Garden Show is a big event here.
Okay, so turning to page 8, People and Places. And there's a great group of guys in their tuxedos.
Is.
This was taken at the First Baptist Church of Champaign in Savoy a couple of years ago because I see Matthew Gladden as our accompanist, and now we have Pierre. And so Matthew's still photographed there. And
well, that's a beautiful sanctuary, too.
Yeah. So it's all the guys in their tuxedo, and the title of this story or this article. Or this content contributor
this
is
article.
Singing and Declaring the Wonders of God by Mark Burns. While underneath a radio tower on a lovely May morning in 1999, I had the strangest thought. I was to start a men's choir whose purpose would be to sing and declare the wonders of God. To say this idea was something I just cooked up or had been thinking about flies in the face of my background. I did not sing, could not read notes, and was often bored by music.
Oh, great.
My memories of church growing up were that when a soloist or a choir sang, I'd take that opportunity to goof off or talk. And that is very true.
Everybody knows.
Got in trouble during those times.
Oh, as you should have. I did too.
Music and singing were not my thing, but someone, capital S, had other plans. Fast forward 20 years to today, and you'll maybe see that God does indeed have a divine sense of humor. But you ask, really, Mark? Tell me more. I'd be glad to. Thinking back to that Saturday morning in May still amazes me. The lessons learned are forever stamped on my heart. But first, you need to know some background and my typical work routine at the radio tower to appreciate how amazing this all was. I say radio tower, but it's really an old cinder block building that could act as a bomb shelter, and it's right underneath the tower. The tower is sometimes surrounded by corn or soybeans, depending on what the farmer planted that year. But lest I digress any more, this is where, for many years, I spent 3 to 10 hours daily doing my radio work. My schedule included previewing and selecting music to play, programming daily features, recording and sharing announcements, and making sure our broadcasting lineup aired without a hitch. There I sat in my worn leather chair in what became known as The man cave. Yep, that was the man cave.
Great.
And actually, all the volunteers were men, but I mentioned that later. Everything in the small studio was almost within arm's reach.
That's convenient.
Yep, the toaster, the microwave, refrigerator, water cooler, and snack cabinet, which always included a variety of treats, such as cashews and assorted other nuts. Some would say the nuts were the four or five other volunteers that were out there.
You said it, not me.
Yeah, me being the head nut. This studio was headquarters for me and four other regular volunteers. There were almost no distractions. It was an extremely quiet place and would become my home away from home, other than the fact that there was no running water or bathroom.
Oh, my word.
Yep, yep.
Well,
many years.
All guys. Go ahead.
Many years. After we did without for years, Herb Ketchum, often lovingly called the radio servant, would donate a porta potty. Thank you, Herb. Yeah,
God
the pink porta potty.
God bless Herb Ketchum.
It was a woman's porta potty while it was pink.
Well, who cares? At least it was decent.
A pink porta potty by Herb. But lest I digress even more, let's get back to the main story. Typically, my Monday through Friday pattern before getting deep into radio work was to read portions of the Bible during my devotional time. Mm. But on this Saturday in May, I was in a hurry to get home and thought, or justified to myself, that it was not necessary for me to be in God's Word and that I didn't have to be legalistic about it. So I thought, I'll just skip it, do my work, and get home. As I thought about, or rationalized, this as okay, something in my heart or mind was triggered saying, reconsider and spend some time reading. So, somewhat reluctantly, I picked up my Bible after all. I began at Psalm 38, read Psalm 39, and then continued on to Psalm 40. I came to verse 5, which says, many, O Lord my God, are the wonders you have done. Mm. The things you planned for us, no one could recount to you. Were I to speak and tell of them, they would be too many to declare. Mm. Something in me started stirring, and after I had finished all of Psalm 40, making all sorts of connections, too numerous to share here, I went back to verse 5. I knew with clarity that I was being led to start making calls and organize a men's choir that would sing and declare the wonders of God.
Wow.
Yep, that's exactly how it happened. It's like the hairs on my arm started raising up that I knew, even though I didn't have the singing background or the expertise or how it was going to come together, I knew that God was saying, this is what you're going to do. There is much more to the story, but here I want to convey two main points. One, if you have a prodding in your heart and mind to do something, turn to page 23. Okay, so let's see. Let me do it like how you did it. Let me get the flow here. I got to hold page 23 open.
This is
and
what
then
happens
go
in
back
the newspaper.
Here. Yeah, yes. This is a real live newspaper in our hands. One, if you have a prodding in your heart and mind to do something or to follow up on a relationship, assignment, idea, or whatever, please do it. Time is of the essence.
Oh, I love that.
Had I not spent time in the Bible that day and overcome my preference for neglecting it, who knows whether I would ever again have come across that passage with the same insight and passion to act.
Oh, my.
And two, I want to alert and encourage men to join in on this adventure as we, the Singing Men of GNN, meet on Monday nights from 7 to 9 p.m. Here are some of the nuts and bolts. That's the old men's kind of phrase there.
Well, I use that phrase.
A few good men. Here are some of the nuts and bolts you need to know about the Singing Men. The Singing Men of GNN comprises a diverse group of men from all walks of life and of all ages representing various professions, including physicians, farmers, professors, and plumbers. We are about 50 enthusiastic men strong from throughout East Central Illinois. Our director is Stephen McClary, longtime director of the Decatur Park Singers and the Greater Decatur Chorale, who now teaches music in the Arthur School District.
He's good at it, too.
Yeah, he's great.
Yeah.
He's beloved down there.
I can believe
it. The students love him. One of our typical concerts offers traditional hymns as well as worship and gospel songs. We sprinkle in patriotic selections during holiday seasons, and we season our portfolio with modern praise to bless a diverse audience. Selections can include various instruments, solos, trios, quartets, testimonies, and audience participation. The Singing Men of GNN have presented over 200 concerts in venues from Chicago to Paris, Illinois, and from Decatur, Illinois to Covington, Indiana. They have included the University of Illinois Krannert Center, Memorial Stadium, the State Farm Assembly Hall. Now it's called the State Farm Center, or it used to be called the Assembly Hall.
Oh, that's funny, State Farm Assembly Hall.
The National Hot Air Balloon Festival. That was the very first event I think we sang at many years ago in 99. The Virginia Theater, the Illinois State Capitol, Christmas concerts, auto shows, community fairs, church events, veteran celebrations, patriotic events, community events, and dinner theaters. To find out more, call 217-367-7777. Rehearsals are at Lincoln Square, Urbana, Unit 112 in the Great News Radio Center. And there's two photographs. One is right there here in the center.
Yeah.
There's Pierre on the piano, the singing men seated, and you can see the guys all during rehearsal. And then the other one below across, I can't remember, that might be the Gibson City Bible Church or somewhere.
I wondered where that was.
All dressed in our tuxedos. So, men, if you have an inkling to want to join us on Monday nights, the rehearsals are 7 to 9 p.m., and we'd love to have you.
So. Now, I have to say something.
Yes.
When I read this article, this jumped out at me so strong. You know how sometimes you read something and it just jumps out at you? It says, I got to find it now. It says, if you have a prodding in your heart and mind to do something or to follow up on a relationship, assignment, idea, or whatever, please do it. Time is of the essence. Mm. That just jumped out at me, Mark. That felt profound when I read that you wrote. I mean, really, that's like some kind of word for some people. I mean, that's big.
Well, when I started writing this story, and I was thinking, where do I go with this, and how much do I tell, and you know, how I can kind of take a two-minute story and put it into an hour length.
Yeah, Herb will just be shaking his head about the porta potty. But anyway, go ahead.
But I thought, you know, I want to have some purpose behind it, and that's what I wanted to convey. I wanted to give people a couple things to think about. One was to join the Singing Men, but the other was the urgency, because the lesson that I learned in my life that day was, hadn't I followed through on those intentions, those proddings, which I believe came from God to be in His Word, even though I could have justified it, just there to be at the tower, to do my work, to go home. But I thought my pattern was reading God's Word, and I should stick with that pattern. And as a result, because I was obedient, maybe you could say, or faithful to doing my devotions, because of that, the consequence was God was ready to birth this idea, this concept into my mind and heart. And because I was receptive and I was diligent and did the reading, it came to me. And I just think there are many times that probably all of us miss out or squander those potential times God's going to give us something because we're busy or we have so many other competing thoughts or interests that we miss out. And so I just wanted to emphasize, hey.
Great article.
So.
With a message. Come one, come all.
Right.
To practice.
Come on, men. All right. I think we might have time to fit this in. And I love the caption. I love the colors and how this is all put together.
Now, this is a real switch, but here we go with another article from the February edition of the Prime Life Times.
And this is page number 16.
Yeah. 50s flashback. Mr. Hollingshead helps his mom. Okay, this is by Randall C. Hill. On June 6, 2008, a unique flag flew over the U.S. Capitol in Washington, D.C. to commemorate a special event. A watershed moment in American history? Well, sort of. The banner honored the 75th anniversary of the drive-in movie theater. I have a lot of questions about that. Why that was signified by a flag over the Capitol. But anyway, let's just go on. It's fine. Its beginning can be traced back to 1932, when folks living on Thomas Avenue in Camden, New Jersey, might have witnessed some strange goings-on from neighbor Richard Hollingshead. He had nailed a bedsheet between two trees next to the driveway, set a home movie projector on the hood of his car, and placed a radio behind the sheet. Yeah, you'd wonder about your neighbor. You know you would. Then Hollingshead, radio blaring at full volume, projected a movie onto his fluttering screen. Why all that weird activity? Hollingshead had been concerned about his mother, a rather large lady. For Mrs. Hollingshead, a visit to an indoor movie house guaranteed great discomfort in a too-tight theater seat. Well, yeah. Richard figured that enjoying a film from
figured,
the...
Figured? Was that a play on words there?
I don't think
no,
so.
No, I don't think so either.
Anyway... Richard figured that enjoying a film from the comfort of a spacious auto seat could alleviate his mother's problem. And so was born the drive-in movie concept. Hmm. 1 year later, with three other investors, Hollingshead bought 400 nearby acres and terraced 336 parking spaces in gentle front-wheel inclines so that vehicles directly in front of other car-cocooned drive-in... Wow, that's a sentence. Mm. In front of other car-cocooned drive-in viewers wouldn't block the screen. Newspaper ads for the new automobile movie theater showed a chubby woman trying to squeeze into a movie house seat. On opening night, visiting movie patrons handed over 25 cents apiece to see a British comedy called Wives Beware. Well, that's interesting. On a 40 by 50 foot screen, customers instantly embraced Hollingshead's brainchild. They could relax in their vehicles, smoke cigarettes, bring their kids, and chat without being shushed. Hmm. Drive-ins weren't just for families either. For romantically inclined teenagers, the media soon labeled such venues passion pits. Huh. Hollingshead's biggest early problem involved sound. RCA had created 3 6-foot-high speakers that guaranteed equal sound distribution everywhere on the grounds. But front row people were subject to an ear-pounding volume, whereas back row viewers could barely hear. Also, neighbors griped about the nightly noise. Hmm. Eventually, RCA came to the rescue by developing wired speakers that hung on car windows.
I remember those.
I do, too. Thanks to a prosperous economy and a growing car culture, drive-in theaters mushroomed in popularity after World War II. By 1958, the number of such sites, featuring about 25% of all movie screens in America at the time, reached its peak with 4,063 locations.
Wow.
The largest such venue was the All-Weather Drive-In in Copiague, New York? I don't know. Somewhere in New York, which boasted 2,500 parking spaces.
You can see that I didn't try to pronounce it.
I noticed that. No help at all. You just let me flounder over here. Oh, my. This place in New York had 2,500 parking spaces, an additional indoor sitting area, a playground, a shuttle, and a full-service restaurant that offered rooftop dining. Mm. I would love to have seen that. Unfortunately, the unavoidable passage of time brought unwelcome changes in the form of soaring land values and competition from increasing technology, especially with the development of popular home video systems. Though most former drive-in theater sites have morphed into housing developments or shopping centers, some remaining weed-infested lots and flea market locales stand as sentinels to still vivid memories of silver screen stories once told under nighttime skies.
Hmm.
Ooh, I'd like to go and see one.
Well, there's one in Gibson City, the Harvest Moon Drive-In. In fact, I think his name will come to me.
Oh, wasn't he a founder?
Yeah, Mike Haroon. He was the founding partner, and he was one of the second or third that joined in, and it was before we went on the air, and he said, sure, I'd like to help. And
he came. You invited him to the 20th
anniversary party. Yeah, and so the technology is such where they were able to update. I think some years ago they needed to invest some major monies because of the way they produce the films now and such, but I can't remember. Some years back, I went to the drive-in.
Oh, did you?
As an adult, it's like, oh, this is uncomfortable. Uh-huh. The seat's not quite right. Oh, my back is hurting.
But, hey, we've got one of the last ones in the country, probably.
Yeah. But growing up, we used to have the old station wagon.
Oh,
and
I know
put
it.
The, what do you call that? The tail down.
Yeah.
And you'd lay in there with the blankets and pillows.
I know
it.
Did y'all bring popcorn and everything?
It was fun.
It was fun.
We used to do that all the time.
I know.
So something still to consider, and you can do that in Gibson City. City. Mm-hmm. But and nowadays, at the Gibson City Harvest Moon Drive-In, you dial the frequency. They give you a frequency, and you put it right on your sound system in your car.
You mean to a radio station?
Yeah, so it just goes like about a half a block.
Yeah.
And it could be just, say, like 91.3.
Yeah.
And then so you hear it right in your car system.
Oh, that's interesting. I want to go.
But I remember the old days, it'd be that big steel thing with the one or two dials, and you dial and you put it on your window and roll it up or roll it down.
But don't you think this guy was clever? I mean, he thought of the inclines, and he thought of all of it.
Yeah,
you know?
And started with a sheet in his own driveway.
Gosh, you'd be worried about your neighbor if you did.
And he was conscientious because of his mom's weight, you know. And back in the 30s or 40s, they probably had really tight seats.
Well, it's like airplane seats today. You know, you can't hardly get through.
Can't get in there, so... All right, we solved another world problem here. Go to the drive-in.
It's a very small problem. Yeah, that's the kind you send our way.
Yeah. All right. Well, this is all contained in the February edition of the Prime Life Times, available online at primelifetimes.com or in over 40 area locations, all listed on our website, primelifetimes.com. So get your edition today. Pass it on to a friend, and thanks for listening.
Get it quick. March is coming.
March is coming with some new and improved articles and content and a lot of good stories. So we appreciate you tuning in today and being a part of our radio listening family. Thanks for listening, and be sure to be reading the February edition of the Prime Life Times.
Thank you.
Oh, say, can you see by the dawn?